Hello and welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We are a podcast based in the northeast of England where we like to see what's good with art. My name is Alice.
And my name is Ellie.
And something we like to do here on Hey Art, What's Good is to kind of check in with each other and see what's good with us. It could be anything. It could be like a movie we've seen or a TV series we've been binging or a podcast or whatever. My good thing is that it's the Steam summer sale right now. So anyone who doesn't know, it's like where you get all your PC games, really. So I've bought a whole bunch of games and I've just started playing Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines because there's like a new one coming out in the very near future. This one is not new. This one is from like 2001 or something. It's real old.
So that's a throwback and a half, Alice. Oh my God.
Yeah.
2001.
So it's interesting trying to get to grips with just the old ass controls and the lower resolution, but enjoying it so far as a new fledgling vampire. So
don't forget the spreadsheets as well.
Oh yes, it's got like old RPG, like these are all your stats, these are what they mean, there's a million things you can choose from, choose them wisely. I'm like, oh god, okay.
No pressure. Amazing.
So that's my good thing this week. What is good with you, Ellie?
Well, my good thing is it's taking its time and it's like, I'm not getting my hopes up yet because I'm not that excited, but I should be moving into sort of a new flat soon. So I'll be able to kind of like, move out essentially, which will be really exciting. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Oh, I'm so glad for you.
Yes. Thank you.
So much fun. I mean, moving house is always stressful, but then when you get there, it's like, this is my space now. I've got a whole place.
This is very true. I'm excited to have more than sort of like one or two rooms, which will be nice. Mm. And like, it's been absolutely fine, but it's going to be nice to kind of resume what I've kind of been used to, if that makes sense. Once you kind of move out, you kind of get used to that feeling almost.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from going to having your own apartment halfway around the world to coming back and not having that anymore. So I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I'm happy for myself. I'm just going to say it. Why not?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Good. What we're going to talk about this week is something a bit different. So we've had lots of like interviews recently, which has been great. But we wanted to kind of take a step back and talk about kind of art in the more traditional sense that we would do. So like we'll go out with the purpose of saying something, then have a chat about it. But obviously, whilst I think some galleries are opening up soon, slash will be open by the time this episode comes out, not about that yet. So we were thinking, where do we go like on our day-to-day, like little sanity walks and little exercise walks, like what is the art that we see around us? And it turns out wherever you are, there's always something quite nice and pretty to look at or just think about.
You just gotta be out on the lookout for it. It is everywhere.
Yeah, out on that art prowl.
Absolutely. Just staring in people's windows, just being like, where is the art?
I demand
don't do
to
that.
See it.
Just as a disclaimer, don't stare at people's windows and look for art. Like, just don't do it. You find some very strange things.
No,
I'm
a
bit of a nosy person when it comes to like staring in people's windows. I know it's really rude and I know you shouldn't do it, but sometimes I can't help myself. And sometimes you bite off more than you think you can like chew. And you're a bit like, oh, I don't know if I should have seen that. No murders, though. So
wow,
it's okay.
I was going to say that this could be a whole other podcast. Kind of like, was that the girl on the train where she looks at the train every day and then one day she thinks she sees like a murder or something? I haven't read it or seen the movie, but I'm imagining a similar sort of premise.
Yeah, probably,
just
going
out looking
for
the art and then...
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. And then she witnesses like a murder. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my god. The next podcast from Hey Art, What's Good?
Oh my god, yeah. Are we going to dabble into the murder industry? No. Murder mystery industry. There we go.
Very different industry, Ellie.
Very different. Oh my god.
No. The art industry. That's what we're all about.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. The things that we're going to have a chat about in this episode are outdoor things freely available for the public to see. And that's like something that's important anyways. Like that's something we've talked about in the podcast a lot, is just public art. Like for one reason or another, people won't want to go into like a gallery to see art because there's a very kind of intentional step there. You've got to step either
Absolutely.
Out of your comfort zone or into a different kind of sphere to kind of consume art in that way. But you don't want to do that all the time. Sometimes it's just nice to have art, I was going to say thrust upon you, but like not like that. Like it'd be nice, it's like a nice surprise to come across sort of thing.
Readily accessible.
Readily accessible, exactly. Exactly. That's a good way to put it. So that's the kind of stuff we're talking about today. And I mean, I don't know if you want to go first.
I do not mind.
Well, you know what? You go first, because the last podcast we did was all about what I saw. I mean, you had a chat about Sight Gallery.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So you can kick this one off then, Ellie.
I'll read. So I'm going to talk about... It's like... It's something that might not necessarily stay there in terms of... It's not like a permanent structure necessarily, but... So we've been talking about sanity walks, which, given the current climate, is like been a really important thing of like coping. I've kind of found sort of going outside every day, making that maybe just the goal and actually like trying to achieve that has been like something that's kind of helped me sort of count the time or pass the day, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So my sanity walks have kind of included sort of strolling around sort of colour codes, going to the coast, which has been like very nice, and I'm really like lucky to have that. So there's a little part of Cullercoats called, which is called Simpson Street, which is kind of called sort of the fishermen, it's like fishermen cottages. So these would have like traditionally housed sort of fishermen, fishing wives, sort of people who were kind of directly involved in sort of fishing just in the Cullercoats Cove, just kind of directly opposite. They're really like really cute, by the way. It's like, they're like tiny little cottages. They're all painted different colours. They've got little, they haven't really got gardens, but they've got like a pedestrianized sort of walkway, which has kind of been customized by like the different houses. So they have like pots outside, little benches. It's got this real nice community feel to it.
Oh.
So it's a very beautiful place. And basically it's just, it's been, so the, I first kind of went past there. There was a small collection of rocks, which kind of was based on sort of the Rainbow Trail, which has kind of been something that's kind of popped up around the UK and in Italy as well. So this, the Rainbow Trail is primarily sort of, it's just the rainbows everyone's kind of been putting up everywhere. So just people put up things in their windows, or they've been painting rocks for this example. Or some people have gone pretty far and like spray painted the garage door, which I'm all about in terms of like how dedicated they are to rainbows. There's been like a lot of different sort of rainbows going on. But like, this sort of particular bit, I think it was just the rocks. They had like little messages on. There was sort of a rock that was saying like, add your sort of rock to this pile of like messages of hope, rainbows. Aww. So the, there's, it's been, you can see some that have been made by like kids who are kind of in lockdown, maybe like parents and other people. But they all sort of have either a message on for like a particular loved one, like to auntie, like, I miss you, we'll meet again, or just rainbows, or just kind of glorifying the NHS. But the thing that's kind of been really amazing about this, like, piece of art is the fact it's expanded over the last 2 weeks, sorry? No, 2 months.
I mean, who's to say what time is?
Is it years? Is it months? Is it weeks? I don't even know anymore. Like, it's kind of lost all meaning. But it, like, started out as quite a small collection of rocks, but now it's taken up the entire row. So it was like a kind of a brick sort of low sort of wall, and it's kind of been taken up by all of these rocks. So people have seen this and been like, I'm gonna add my rock. So people have been participating and kind of creating this sort of focal point that I bet everyone looks at it as they pass sort of Simpson Street, and they see sort of this collection, and they're like, I don't know, it's like, it's been really kind of comforting to kind of look at and see how it's kind of expanded, and people have kind of come together, not in like a sort of group way, but just have seen something that someone else has done and been like, I'm gonna add my own bit to that, and like partake,
yeah,
in making art together, like in a socially distanced way. So it's really,
that's
cool.
A good point. Yeah, like, so a social distance kind of passive collaboration.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds so much better than like a collection of stuff that people have like been adding to. Let's use these, like,
I mean, it's
artworks.
Same. Yeah.
Same.
But, I mean, it's really nice. Ellie's sent over a couple of photos, and it's just, like, a really lovely, colourful display, and all the potted plants around it make it such, like, a lovely backdrop.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Like, yeah, it has the plants as well, and it's just kind of bloomed over the summer as well. So it's kind of, yeah, it's very eye-catching, which is kind of what you want with art in a lot of ways, to make people stop and kind of read the messages and stuff.
It's interesting as well, because it's kind of like, it's very like of the moment, like of its time. Like, you wouldn't necessarily like see anything like this outside the current circumstance, really. Like, I'm trying to think of a time where like something has been happening like in the country or in the area where every individual stone like has its own like kind of meaning. Like, either some of them just have like just like NHS on them, some of them have just rainbows, like lots of different things. Like, there's obviously the coronavirus and like the strain that NHS has been under, and everyone realizing what an amazing service it is and how well everyone who works there has like been like helping the entire country through this sort of pandemic.
And absolutely,
this is like that kind of recognition that it's encompassing. Like, I can't think really of another time where that would have happened. Like, maybe in like the Second World War or something. I don't know any kind of public street art movements, but I'm thinking like that's the only other time I can think of like a collective solidarity for something where people would just contribute to something like this. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, to kind of get, so obviously with sort of political movements and sort of collectives of people, there is sort of art involved, but in the terms of like being able to just get anyone in, getting anyone to make that art and contribute, it's amazing how effective it's been, sort of being, getting people to kind of partake in that sort of movement and solidarity. So it kind of got me thinking, sort of, where has this movement come from? Because I remember just going into lockdown being like, why are there so many rainbows about, and being like, sort of initially being like, why are your kids doing this? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. It's not Pride Month yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad people are like embracing Pride and having a great time with it. But like, it just kind of popped up and I was like, what's this? What's going on? But so I was kind of reading about this, and Rachel Moss of the Huffington Post sort of made like a good article sort of about the origins of the rainbow. It's called the Rainbow Trail. So like, it's like a hashtag people have been using for this.
Oh.
So it originated in Bari, Italy, by a local mums group.
Cool.
So as Italy kind of went into lockdown, they sort of organized together to make rainbows to kind of spread hope, sort of show everyone that they're all in it together, and people could kind of see each other's art through windows and kind of share that feeling. And then a woman in Surrey sort of brought it into the UK, and then like created a Facebook group around sort of making these rainbows, and then it just took off from there. So like, it had like 4,000 members that became a part of it, and it just like grew really quickly, this like movement. And then it's just kind of basically everyone sort of got involved with it, kind of changed it to however they want to use it. So like with the rocks, or paint your garage door, or whatever. And it was just really interesting to kind of read about how this has happened in other countries as well. So in China as well, it's not necessarily the same as sort of what's been happening in Bari, Italy, and in the UK, but there's this kind of sort of community of kind of, you say like add oil, or like jiayou in Chinese, which means sort of like, go on, son, you can do it. But in Chinese, obviously. So like adding oil, like, I don't know, maybe it's like adding it to like an engine, you become like faster or something, I don't know. But just kind of this supporting each other and being like, you can do it.
Oh.
So I thought it was really interesting, like learning where it came from.
That is really, I've had no idea about that. It's one of those things where I'd like obviously seen it cropping up and I was just like, I don't know, rainbows are like good and applicable to this, and obviously NHS is great, so I didn't really think to look a bit more into it, but that's really interesting. I'm glad you did.
I'm glad someone did. So I did just like take this article and just talk about it, so like this Rachel Moss did like that's most more than of the I did for this, honestly. But it was really interesting just how it's kind of spread and how so many people have been like, you know what, this is a great idea, and even hospitals being like, we're going to put rainbows up all over our sort of hospice walls or hospital walls or in care homes as well. Like, everywhere is kind of trying to get on board with this, which is great.
Yeah. And like, what's not to love about rainbows? It's inclusive, it's bright, it's happy, and that's like the point.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah, thank you. So in terms of looking at more permanent fixtures, I think you kind of looked into something that was maybe not as like widely shared and is maybe a mystery of the Northeast. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, let's gather around, children. They'll spin you a yarn of the great mystery of the Gateshead Sculpture Festival 2006.
Never forget.
Honestly. Well, apparently I did. So, I live in Gateshead near Saltwell Park. And Saltwell Park, for anyone who doesn't know, is a great, great public park. It, I'm sure it won some kind of award in like 2004 for being some kind of good park in Europe. I can't remember what the specifics or the wording was, but it's beloved.
That's
by
praise
all.
That's praise indeed. Oh my god.
It's pretty good. And the park itself, it's like another story. It's like Jesmond Dean, basically some rich dude had a really nice house and the park were the grounds around it. And his house is still there. It's called Saltwell Towers. There was a dude called William Wales, and I can't remember what he's famous for, but he did something. And then he built this beautiful tower. It's not just a single tower. It's called Saltwell Towers. It's a beautiful house. I'll post a picture on the Instagram so you can have a see.
Is anyone living in it at the moment?
No. Well, it's a, obviously it's closed at the minute because of COVID, but there's a cafe
Absolutely,
in there,
yeah.
So you can get like your tea and your coffee in that. The upstairs is rarely open because people can book it out for events and stuff. But there is like a kind of museum art gallery thing up there, but as I say, it's never open, so I haven't been in years, but there's used to be like little like information points and like old pictures and paintings and stuff, but then some kind of newer like photography by like local artists and stuff.
That's so interesting.
So it's a really beautiful building, and the park itself is beautiful. It's lovely. It's like, that's my daily walk sort of place. That's where I take the dogs for the walks.
We should go to the cafe when it's open again. That sounds amazing.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Something else the park has is lots of art just dotted all over the place. And like it's tall sculptures. Some like are pretty big as well, and it's pretty lovely to see. And apparently most of them are from, according to the little plaques, the 2006 Gateshead Sculpture Festival. And I would have been alive in 2006, I would have been 11. Do not recall this in the slightest. Saltwell Park is literally the end of my street. I feel as though I would have remembered going to see all these things, but I do vaguely remember a time when these sculptures weren't there, and then when they were new. So maybe I wasn't aware if there was like a specific day for a festival, but one day they were just there and I was like, oh, these are pretty cool. So I've got there's literally like definitely probably about over a dozen, or maybe it's around a dozen. So I've picked some of my favorite ones to have a chat about.
They're quite like big, a lot of them as well, like,
yeah,
and they're so like varied. Was there a specific theme at all, or was it just kind of like, have some fun in this park and make some sculptures, please?
Yeah, well, I mean, as I say, I can't find any information on the festival, so I'm not too sure what the brief would have been. Maybe it's like, it could have just been something as simple as like, create something that would enrich the area, or like, I don't know, like, I think it feels like all of them probably give you something to have a think about, so
Definitely.
Let's have a think about them now, here, on Hey Art, What's Good?
Haha. Yeah, let's do it.
The first one I want to talk about, it doesn't really have a name, like, there is a huge plaque thing for it, but it is so weather-worn, I've got no idea, but
Wait,
it's by
it hasn't
an
got
artist
any information
called...
on it.
Well, there is a huge board, but you cannot see anything that the board says because it's so worn down. But it's by an artist called Alan Smith, OBE. You can see that much on the board. And I managed to do some Googling for this one to figure out that it was exhibited first at the 2010 Chelsea Flower Show. And what it is, it's like concrete and metal, and it's just half of the Tyne Bridge. So it's kind of like... you know, the lovely green bridge, but like kind of cut in half, like halfway across. And then on the like one side of it is like the towers that are at the either end of like the base of the bridge. So like they would have been like the elevators to take you up back in the day. And this thing is like, it's pretty big. And it was originally like just a really ornate, cool flower bed because it was for this Chelsea Flower Show.
Yeah.
And so
absolutely.
It's currently located kind of like in a roundabout of a pathway. Not too far from the Saltwell Towers I was talking about before, but as long as it's been there, it hasn't had, from what I recall, it hasn't had any flowers in it. But I do remember, like, years and years and years ago, it must have been around 2010. But in my mind, it was earlier than that. I can't remember. But then that was 10 years ago, so who's to say? It was placed next to the lake that's in Saltwell Park, and there were flowers in it. But then they removed it for a bit, and I can only imagine it's because kids the worst, and probably, like, tear that up.
Maybe.
But it's very pretty, and it's really cool. And apparently, it represents an active and healthy Gateshead, the main display being the flowers on the Tyne Bridge, depicting runners that take part in the Great North Run. So that's so obviously, that if you cool. can imagine it filled with flowers, each flower or each petal maybe would represent a runner for the event. So that's just really cute.
Definitely, yeah.
It's a nice piece to walk past. Beautiful.
I can imagine with flowers, like, I'm just looking at images of it now with flowers in. It is very, like, stunning in, like, a way. Like, it's very eye-catching. It's like, it distills a lot of what people think about the North as it is, like, with the Great North Run and then the bridges as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So it's very, like, Gateshead thing, northern thing. Because since it's half the bridge, I'm like, yeah, it's the Gateshead side.
Okay, Gateshead side for life.
Woot
woot. I don't know what accent that was. It wasn't Geordie.
It wasn't, no, but that's okay.
Okay, it'll do. It's all you're getting.
It's fine. The next one I want to talk about is called Chrysalis. And this is one where I don't really get it. I don't really know exactly what it's doing, but it's one of my favourite ones. And on my notes, I've written down this funky sculpture. And it's literally, it's one of those, I don't know, kind of like modernist-y, strange sort of things. It's basically just like a steel, like, I don't know, like a 20 foot tall steel rod sticking out the ground with kind of circles of like an orange acrylic sheet kind of looping around the top in a kind of, I don't know what you'd call that shape, like
beehive shape.
Ooh, a beehive shape. Yeah, we'll go with that. And the main reason I like this is when it's sunny, you can kind of, like, the sun obviously makes a shadow, because that's what it does, so it makes a nice bold shadow of the steel rod, but since the acrylic sheet it goes through is, like, kind of translucent, it's like an orange shadow on the ground, so it's really pretty and cool.
Ooh.
So that's my kind of favourite thing about it, really, is the cool shadow it can make when it's sunny.
Does it kind of have any information about what it kind of represents at all, or kind of who did it?
So the artist, I didn't say the artist's name. So this is by an artist called Sam Brewster, who, I can't remember if they're from here, but they, I think he's from Australia and he works and lives in Tasmania. Mm-hmm. And the little bit of information that I saw with this one is that the sculpture is intended to allude to the concepts of safe passage transition coupled with the emergence of wonder and beauty, which is kind of going back to like what he says is like his family's culture, because they immigrated from Ireland to Australia like in the mid-1900s.
Okay,
So I quite like that. That's quite an interesting like expression of that kind of sentiment. I really like it.
I imagine it's very eye-catching since it is like orange acrylic as well. So like, as soon as you saw that or saw something like that represents that you've made it safely through sort of the ordeal you've been through, it must have like a lot attached to it.
And it really, because he says, the two items at the forefront of his mind have influenced the form of the sculpture. It's like one natural, one man-made. So he says that these come together in like a chrysalis and a land-based nautical beacon, which is quite interesting, because obviously I imagine immigrating to Australia in the 1950s probably, I mean, planes were a thing, but probably would have got a boat to go all the way down there.
It's quite a way, regardless of if it's like a plane or like a boat. Like, it's one of those long journeys that you'll definitely remember, or like not necessarily comfortable, especially in the 1950s.
Yes, definitely. So I quite like this one. I think a theme that will come up a lot, like the kind of difference between the things that we've chosen to talk about, is kind of like the Rainbow Trail is like quite new and quite active and people still add to it, whereas all these things, it's like they're still and they've been there for ages, and everyone kind of probably evokes some kind of memory from my past, because I've lived here forever, so it's just this is fun. I like this.
No, yeah, it's a good contrast. I think, like, it'll be interesting to see sort of people's experiences of Saltwell Park, or like the sculptures, and whether or not the Rainbow Trail will kind of stand that test of time in the same way, or if it'll just be sort of a blip or like a meme of kind of what's happening now.
That's interesting, yeah, because like meme is kind of taking on the kind of, I was gonna say persona, that's not quite right, but like a meme people think to mean like just internet silliness, when like literally it's not necessarily that, like it's kind of about popular culture permeating in such a way. Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe it'll encapsulate sort of the experiences of people during sort of coronavirus or COVID-19, sort of that expression potentially around it, in sort of like a positive expression.
Yeah, definitely.
But back to the sort of statues that have been there for donks. What was...
Donkey's years.
Forever. Donkey's years. A while. A good while.
Well, one of the other pieces I want to talk about is one of my favourite ones, actually, in Saltwell Park, because it's not just a sculpture, it's a thing that can be interacted with. So this one is called Pavilion for Cultural Exchange by William Pym. And this is one of those ones specifically, I remember a time when this wasn't there, and then I remember a time when it was. And it's so cool. So it's kind of described as being like a kind of confessional box.
This one looks so interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so imagine, so it's made out of steel and copper, and the steel is painted black. So imagine... Well, yeah, kind of imagine a confession box, but then also imagine, you know them... Oh, what are they called? So I did a quick Google. Apparently these are called conversation chairs, because I guess it's to have a conversation sitting close to each other. But in my mind, they're always kind of like a chaperone chair. I think that's what they're also called. So it's basically, you can talk to each other, but there's like some kind of barrier in the way. It's like you wouldn't... So you can sit right next to each other, but like you wouldn't like be touching legs or something, because that would be inappropriate. You know how they were in the olden times.
It kind of reminds me of like when you have a conversation with someone and you're walking, like you're not looking at that person necessarily, but you're able to kind of express yourself better in a way, because you're not directly sort of giving eye contact to that person or touching that person, which was maybe forbidden in the 17th century. Who knows? But yeah, like allows the conversation to flow.
Exactly. So I imagine that's the point, because it's in that style, but it's also in the kind of confessional box thing, because you've got like a kind of wall like around this kind of side to back of you, so you kind of like you've got some space and privacy if you wanted it. And the artist William Pym sees his work as fitting within a history of making, but in a contemporary idiom. I'm going to read a little quote from the little like kind of information tag. It says, "The pavilion, inspired by decorative symbols and motifs from a variety of cultures, creates the opportunity for two people to sit and debate their views and cultures." Now, whilst I don't remember having a debate in the Pavilion for Cultural Exchange, I do remember like me and my friends, like if I was just out with like one or two other people, like when I was like a teenager, just hang out in the park, because that's the only place we could go because it was free.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll just have a sit in there, because it's somewhere nice to have a sit and have a nice little chat. So I think that's one of my favourite pieces in the park.
I think it'd be so good to interact with in a way. Like it would be a place that you'd kind of indulge sort of secrets to a friendship group, or sort of a meeting point to kind of talk. Maybe not necessarily to like talk to strangers, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's not.
It reminds me of like Amelie in a way, like sort of that sort of mysterious. Have you seen Amelie, by the way? You must have seen it.
Well, no. Technically kind of yes, but mainly no. The only time I've seen Amelie was in year 8 French, but she skipped through all like the rude and bad bits. So she skipped through most of the film to try and get her to learn French, I guess.
What is she doing?
No, terrible.
No.
I remember nothing apart from the VHS cover for Amelie, so... We'll say God no, damn. I haven't seen it, because I couldn't tell you what it's about.
Okay, so I'll describe like a little bit, like it kind of reminds me of. It's sort of, she's on the ghost train. So she's found this bloke that she's kind of interested in, and she's on the ghost train, and he's an actor within the ghost train. And he's kind of like paid to sort of scare people and the ghost train. So like he's really close to her, but he's not like looking at her or interacting, and like he's trying to scare her. But like it's like a really like intense moment, even though there's no contact and they're not like looking at each other or anything. But like I imagine sort of a conversation chair would be like really similar to that, in the way that like you're close to someone, but you're not like interacting, and you could make it into this like secretive sort of, I don't know, like intimate moment almost, but in a way that it's not sort of touching someone or like interacting directly with someone.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Like, it makes me think in like in a similar vein, but obviously very different in design, that the Whispering like wall in Grand Central Station, not Grand Central Terminal in New York, you know, there's that, I've never been, but it's like a famous, not so famous landmark where it's basically like in the kind of tunnel, it's not a tunnel, but like a walkway going under Grand Central Terminal in New York City. Mm-hmm. There's like this space where if it's like a, I don't know, like a 20-foot like across like space walkway, but if two people went into the opposite corners facing the wall and whispered, the whisper would, because the way it's designed, would carry across the other way, so they could have a conversation with that person.
I did not know about this. That's so cool.
Oh, Google that. Google that, dude.
I'm
it's really
gonna
cool.
Google that. Oh my god, that's awesome.
So like, yeah, so obviously very different design, but in a similar kind of sense, it makes us think of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. One of my favorite ones. And also, I really enjoyed it when I was younger because you could really easily climb on it if you wanted to. Like, it's made out of, like, steel. Like, it's not going to break. But,
it'll
like,
yeah.
You'll see... I'll put some photos on Instagram. But you can see it's kind of like a ball shape in the top. So obviously the goal would be to climb up and kind of... You couldn't comfortably sit up in the ball thing on top, but that was, like, the goal of climbing it really was to get into that little bit, so...
Did you ever achieve it, Alice?
Oh, of course. There's also three different trees in the area immediately next to this piece, which I could climb with proficiency as a teenager.
Practice. You've conquered those summits. What's next?
And I probably only fell out of one of them. So
it's not bad. It's a pretty good track record.
Pat on the back of my... Well, I fell out of three trees in my... Here's a fun fact about me. I fell out of three trees in my life, and each one was pretty bad. But to my knowledge, I didn't break anything, so not bad.
Maybe you could still be an astronaut. Well done.
Oh, an astronaut. Oh, okay. Perfect. Can't wait for that to be my career projection.
Astronaut. 2021.
Well, went going from, like, a podcast video editor straight to astronaut. That's the trajectory.
As a careers advisor, I can absolutely tell you that is not possible at all. But you should try anyway, if you want to.
Oh, perfect. I love setting myself up for failure. No, I'm just joking.
Jesus Christ. It's about rainbows, Alice. It's supposed to be about hope.
Okay. Well, there's a few more pieces that I've written stuff about, but I'm going to talk about one more. Just a cute little one. It's kind of like a nice staple of all the sculptures, I think, and it's called the Language Stone, and by an artist called Gordon Young, and it's like this really nice, beautiful, smooth stone made out of white marble. And to be fair, the picture I've taken of it doesn't really do it justice, because I was on a walk on a very rainy day, and there's a big puddle, and it's like covered in mud and stuff, but it's still a really beautiful piece. The Language Stone immediately makes us think of like links with like the Rosetta Stone and stuff, and really this is like that, but instead of using it to kind of decrypt a whole language, it's to learn a lovely phrase and sentiment, which is I love you, and that's this stone is got carved in it I love you.
That's so cool.
Tons of different languages, but not English, so if you don't know it says I love you at first, like the little thing doesn't tell you, like you get it though. So I think this is like where I learned that te amo meant I love you in Spanish, but there's like what looks like Swedish and like Cyrillic and maybe like Lithuanian or something like that, but there's tons on there, and it's one of those things where every time I go I'll try and remember a phrase or guess what language each one is, but then I never really follow it up because I'm never like, oh, I'll get out Google
Translate.
Always
a fun game trying to work out languages though.
It is. It's always fun. And there's a really cute story that comes with this one, which isn't on the plaque in the park. So I did some Googling on the Gateshead Council website. And so the stone came from Italy. However, it lay on the Plymouth seabed for over a century and a half because the ship that carried it sank in a storm en route to London. And a sea salvage firm recovered it in a training exercise for one of the divers. So originating in a block form, so obviously it wouldn't have been this really smooth kind of massive pebbly looking thing. It would have been like a big block of marble. The stone's ocean adventures in decades of the sea have influenced its shape and form. So I think that's really lovely. So I can only assume I Love You in Italian is also on there. So is it makes sense to
like,
me.
Like all smooth. Is it kind of been smooth by the sea and kind of like being on the
It's all smooth.
Bottom, the sea
yeah,
bottom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Apart from, because I think where the words, I think the words have been chiseled in and then they've been filled in with a red paint so you can see them cool. against the white marble. But
does it look like really nice. A heart sort of shape or?
It doesn't, no, not really. It just looks like a nice, really, like a good smooth pet. Like if it was the size to fit in your hand, it would feel nice in your hand because it's like, yeah. it's got that kind of nice shape to it. But as it is, it's like, I don't know, probably like 3-4 foot. 3 foot long, maybe. It's like it's not huge, but it's a big ass hunk of marble.
I kind of think it's interesting that like English is not necessarily on there. It's kind of like highlighting sort of other languages, or kind of maybe it makes it more interesting if you're not able to work it out immediately. Like you're like, oh, what is it trying to say? Instead of being like, oh, it's I love you. Okay, let's move on. That's like that's kind of cool. It's like you'd never in the UK. You don't usually get like that unless, of course. English is not your first language of like trying to puzzle something out. It's usually all the signs are in English or whatever. So you're like, oh, okay, that's that. Perfect. So having something with a bit of mystery is like attracts you more, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I just love languages. Like I'm not like the best at learning them, but
yeah,
I
definitely.
Do appreciate them.
I wonder why the artist chose love or like I love you as sort of the sentiment to put on the rock.
I mean, it's something that kind of binds all of humanity, really, like as an emotion, as an expression. So I think it's a good, well, because it's called the language stone, so like again it's like it, like the Rosetta Stone being this one great link to cultures and stuff like that, like it's like that but on like a nice small cute scale.
I wonder if like it's had lots of different currents from all over the world or water that's kind of washed it as well and like smoothed it down and like like the words could represent like the different sort of things that have smoothed it over the centuries, or the century and a half it was in the water.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, well, Plymouth being quite a big kind of port place, I think. You know, it's at that end of the country. They would have had ships coming in from all over the shops, so I imagine that would have been an inspiration, perhaps.
Yeah, okay. Let's go for it. Let's make that story. it sounds really cool, though, like, to kind of see these sculptures in the flesh at some point.
Yeah, oh well, when we're all allowed, I mean you're allowed to do public transport, but when everyone feels happy and comfortable, we'll have to do like a gates a day and I can show you
definitely.
A bunch of these, because I mean there's tons more I'm specifically not talking about because I realized like I went on a bit, but I mean Saltwell Park's great. Like I'd recommend like anyone popping along, like especially if you're in the gates a day area, like there's no reason not to go. It's free, it's huge. In this day and age, like it's easy enough to navigate around without coming in like too close contact with anyone. So I recommend it for like a nice like sunny art walk if we're in the area.
I'd also like recommend sort of the coast. Obviously being able to get to the coast is a luxury in itself, especially during the current climate, but just I think at the moment sort of Colourcoats and the little sort of bay around Colourcoats is my favourite area to walk or like explore. So going on a sanity walk around that and rock pooling as well, so you can rock pool, or if the tide's really out, go from sort of Colourcoats Bay onto Long Sands just through sort of the rock pooling. Obviously be safe if you're going to attempt this because it can be quite slippery and dangerous. But yeah, it's really cool to just explore sort of bits of the coast that are kind of present.
Yeah. And, like, just appreciating your local area. That's what this episode has been about most of all. It's, like, appreciating, like, what you've got, where you are. And, like, it could be, like, honest to goodness, like, art, in air quotes, because it was part of a sculpture festival, apparently, and that's why it's there. Or it could be, like, a nice kind of local collaborative effort to kind of show solidarity and appreciation. It's all art, all lovely.
It is all art, and it's all accessible and free.
And thought-provoking, which is what art should be. Yeah, oh, lovely. I think that probably about wraps it up for this one, I think. It'd be nice having a little chat about this.
Definitely, yeah. Like, it was good contrast between the two.
Yeah. So, yeah, as we say, if you're in the northeast area and you've got access to either or both of these areas, would recommend a visit. Something we'll like to do to end episodes on High Art What's Good is to kind of talk about either something else that's good and cool that we want to shout about, or maybe something that looking forward to. Again, could be a media recommendation of some kind.
Oh,
my
yes.
thing is a media rec that I'm looking forward to is at the end of July, the Umbrella Academy season 2 is coming out on Netflix. I'm very excited. Have you seen the Umbrella Academy?
I don't watch like anything May, honestly. I have a recommendation. I think you might like it, you know. As long as my arm. As long as like from here to Time Mouth, probably. What's it about though, Alice? Go on.
Okay, so it's based on like comics or graphic novels, and it's basically this dude in like, I don't know, the 70s or the 80s or something, went round and adopted slash kind of bought a bunch of kids that all got born on the exact same day.
Ooh.
Because there was something about it, like something about the parent. I think because all the parents got pregnant literally like the day they were born, it was like this huge weird phenomenon. So he went round and like grabbed them all up. It's like, right, these are probably special. They are. They all have powers.
Ooh.
So he kind of adopted them all. He was a mean man. He adopted them all and just gave them numbers. So there's number 1, number 2, number 3, up till number 7.
Okay, yeah.
And it's basically, this is like, they're all adults now, and the patriarch, the dad, like in season 1, just died, so they'll come back together for his funeral and stuff, but then other things go on and they get to see all the powers and it's cool.
Ooh, okay.
And my favorite character in it is a character called Klaus, but he's Nathan from Misfits, if you've watched Misfits on Channel 4.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
He's one of the main characters in it, and he's fantastic, and it's just a good... And Ellen Page is in it.
Oh my god.
Love that. What? So I think you'd like it. It's like ridiculous, it's like comic booky, and just sci-fi as well. So I feel like you like those combinations.
I do. I'm not that super keen on like superheroes, but sci-fi and Ellen Page and Nathan will bring it back for me. So I will put it on my list, but I promise nothing, I'm afraid.
No, that's okay. There's too much to watch. Like, you couldn't possibly promise to watch anything in this current climate.
Oh, so much to watch.
Media saturation, my God.
Mental.
But do you have anything like looking forward to, or any good recommendations or anything like that?
I think I'm going to follow you with a recommendation. I was going to talk about like vegetables, but no, I'm going to like move away from that bad boy. So I'm going to talk about like, I don't know, it's not amazing, but like something that's been like really comforting during. So like, I'm always watching sort of cartoons. That's like my go-to. I don't want to look at real people. I don't want to be in the real world. I want to be in cartoon land. And I've been like, just sort of catching up on Bob's Burgers.
Oh, Bob's Burgers. Whoa. Throwback.
It is a throwback. It's 2014. So it's been around a while. But, like, it's just so comforting. And, like, the characters are so entertaining. And I'm really, like, having a good time with it. It's good.
Is the eldest daughter's Tina, right? Is that Tina?
Yes, yeah.
Love Tina.
She is, like, an icon.
I've only seen season 1 and 2, I think. And I didn't stop watching it because I didn't like it. But I think I was in university at the time. I was like, I don't have time.
Yeah. Yeah, it just kind of like drops out. It's good though.
Might hop back on board. We'll see.
It's got like, the dad is like the voice actor who did Archer as well. So like, it's quite funny to hear his voice not just like shouting Lana and like being an asshole, but like being like a tired dad instead, being like, stop. And like, the kids are so funny as well. Like the way they interact with each other and like the ridiculous adventures they get on. So good.
Yep. Amazing. Good recommendation. A classic show.
Classic. But yeah, like, this has been really fun.
Yeah, it has been. It's been really nice. We'll end it there. Thank you everyone for having a listen. If you want to see some of the photos of the things we talked about, you can check it out on our Instagram and Twitter at HeyArtWhatsGood, and you can check out more information on our website, heyartwhatsgood.com. You can listen to this. I mean, I know you already listen to this podcast, but you can listen to it on all the platforms where you find podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts, we're on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, all of them. And then some other ones that I didn't put us on, but that just kind of like scoop up RSS feeds. So you kind of just automatically get added to them anyway. So
nice one.
Look out for one of those ones.
Anywhere you get your podcasts from. That's always what they say.
Yeah. Anyway, you get your podcasts. So thank you everyone so much for having a listen.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll catch you next time.